David or Moses or Abraham. So there are a few exceptions, and I don't know how far he can go, how they got to know him, but I think we are able to get to know him much more than Abraham, Moses, or David. Because the Spirit, he says, the Spirit in you knows you. Your Spirit knows you. They know nothing is hidden for your own spirit. But it's difficult for Graham to know you 100%. But the Spirit knows. So God says, my Spirit knows everything. He dives into the heart of God. He looks and sees and knows everything. It's transparent, perfect transparency. And then he says, I'll give you my Spirit. Wow. Amazing. So we can get to know God for who he really, 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 really is. Amazing. So they are there in heaven, and Father says, I want them to know me for who I really am. But they can't without the Spirit. They can't. Will you become flesh? My goodness. God, Spirit, will you become flesh? And Jesus says, I will. And he comes to earth, flesh. Man like you, me. One exception. He's without sin, so he can carry the Spirit. He is the dwelling place of God, of the Father. He is the dwelling place. And now, when you look in his eyes, you can see, you can meet the Father. He made it possible that we can meet the Father here on earth in our fleshly body because of what he has done for us. Wonderful, wonderful. So now, he says, okay, this is my plan. He says, he looks to the father looks to the prodigal son when he comes home, and he is embracing him. And that's strange, because when you are a father and your son has done something wrong, you first sit down with him. And he needs to tell you, sorry, or I will behave myself now, or I will try better. You have to do something. That's normal, but not in this parable. What does the father say about what the son has done wrong? Nothing. So can we do what we want?
Surely he's done something.
You think so?
Well, he's demonstrated the quality of the spirit.
The father to the son. Well, I mean, what did he say about the wrongdoings of his son? Nothing. So it's strange. The prodigal son. It's important because we need to know who the Father is for us. But when we have done, we were in Pakistan, Islamabad. And there is a section, and it's for the Christian churches allowed to be there. And we were visiting several churches. So we talked about, we told them about the prodigal son. And then I asked them, and it was like a room smaller than this, and there were like 140 people. And we had a great worship time. And now, then, okay, we preached about the prodigal son. So I said, do you think that the prodigal son was afraid for his father on his way home? All of them. Yes. He was definitely afraid. He didn't know what to expect. Boom! What have you done? You put to shame everything. He asked the inheritance, but his father, he had not yet, he didn't want to die yet. But it's like that you say you can die, you're dead to me when you ask the inheritance. It was not the time, but he gave the inheritance. Then what did he give him? Yeah, his portion. But what was that? A sack of money? No, he gave him part of the inheritance. That was land, buildings. So then he sold it. But that is something you don't do. You don't sell family property. You don't do that. He did it. And then he spent the money in a far country. Normally, you let the region benefit. So he did again something that was not done in that time. He had done everything wrong what he could. He left the family. He left the father. You should stay with one another. He did everything that was wrong. You think the father was hurt because of what he had done? Definitely. John and Paul are sent for it, say, wounded people, wound people. Healed people, heal people. The son had wounded his father. So when he comes home, it comes up. You see him, you recognize it. Someone has done something to you. And he comes to you. If suddenly you see him, all the pain can come up. You feel the pain of from the thing that he had done to you again. So, same with the father. What we do when we feel pain, we build up walls because we don't want to be hurt again. And we say, stay on the distance. I don't let myself be hurt again. Not so for the father. He feels the hurt. How come? What is different in the heart of the Father from our heart? We are made in His image, in His likeness. So why is He reacting differently? How can that be? Yeah.
If you compare the story of the prodigal son, going back to Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
Well, you could say that the father of the son, the prodigal son, was acting better father of Adam, because he didn't forgive his son, he banished him to the wilderness.
It's very interesting that you say that. That's good. Thank you. Because is this what he really did? And that has to do with the picture that we have of the father. Look, this is what actually what you say, this is possible. He says, out of my garden, in the wilderness. Now, another point of view. He says, whoa, you've eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But there is another tree. There is the tree of life. When you eat now from the tree of life, you will have, you will stay forever in the state that you are. No, 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 no. I have a plan of restoration. For now, you have to leave. For now, and I will protect this place so that it can't get worse for you. Because I have a plan of restoration. That's my God. That's my Father. The Father sees the Son coming, the prodigal son. He feels the hurt. And the pain is used as fuel for the love. Because he says, when you wound me in this way, you must have a severe wounded heart. My goodness, my son. My goodness, my son, you must have a wounded heart. You see? Now, he says, let me embrace you. Because with the love of my heart, when we stay close, I can heal your heart.
Thank you.
You know, so this is the difference. The Father... And this is why I don't believe that there is the God with the finger. You better do better. You can do better. You should not sin. You should try better, harder. Work. Try. Do. Bah. It's ridiculous. Because when he sees you, he says, you're an orphan. And from an orphan heart, you can't act like a son. So I'm not asking you to act like a son. I'll tell you that you need me. So you can come as you are. So this is important because now we know that it's not upon us, if he wants to embrace us, but it's upon him. And he says, I created you with the purpose that we will be one. So my plan is a plan of restoration. Jesus came to deal with all the wrong things. Yes, you've done wrong things. Yes, I know. That's why I sent Jesus. And he paid the price. Everything from the past, the present, and the future. He paid it all. He says, and now, you must imagine, Father, God wants more than anything else, he wants to be Father. What do you need to be a father? Children. Now, he made two. And he says, multiply, because he wants many children. More than eight. You know, but after two, it went wrong. And till today, this has not been fully restored. So the desire of God from the beginning is not yet fully fulfilled. And he is longing for the day that this will happen, that he can gather his children. And he says, I do everything because I love my children. And I know that when their hearts are restored, when the orphan heart when gets healed, and that is one side, the healing, the other side, I'll give you the identity. And the two together, and then I can dwell in you. I can become visible. You can carry my image. Be like God, in the image of God. We are made for that. And when this comes to pass, the church will change. This is the change for the church. It's not what we do. It's who we are. Yeah, sometimes I get a little enthusiastic here and there. But I love it. I love it. Let me Let us listen to the one song from When I Look at the Blood at the Cross from Godfrey. To see what he is telling us, what he sometimes sees around him, and what it should be. And I love this song. I love this song.
Yeah.
Peter had the key. Jesus says in Matthew 16, what about you? He asked, who do you say I am? Because they had said, well, Jeremiah, Elijah, prophet. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. You know, it was amazing that Peter said so, because we read it and we say, well, Jesus, Son of God. That's what the Bible tells us. But they were like born in the same time. They knew the house. They knew the mother. They saw the mother. They've seen her, the father. And then to say, from a baby that was born in that house, who had brothers, they knew the brothers of Jesus, to say, you are the Son of the living God. That's something. And Jesus says, flesh and blood, you can't know. You need revelation from the Father. This is what we need today. He said, and on this rock I will build my church. On this revelation. What revelation? That he will be known for who he really is. He says, that's the most important thing. I will build my church. And you know what? I'll give you the key. Isn't it wonderful? He says, I'll build the church, I'll give you the keys. He says, we work together. We have, so often we think of the Father, of God, the one who rules. You have to obey him. You have to, you know, when I was a Christian, became a Christian, I thought that when I would come to heaven, the Father would sit behind a great desk, big leather chair, looking over his glasses. Well, he doesn't have glasses. Looking to me when I come in. Hank. Hank. Yeah. Tell me, what have you done for me? You know? What have you done for me? And I would say, well, I was with the Jesus people, and Renus, he came to the Lord. Yes, later he fell away. I don't know if he counts still. But, you know, I now think when I come to heaven and I meet my Father, that he comes to me. He says, hey, Hank, how are you? Have you enjoyed the life that I gave you? Different. Have you enjoyed? You know, we should be the people that could enjoy life the most. Sometimes I see different things. Are you free to enjoy life? The world, it's so many people, they will die. You know, they told us every day there are thousands that just vanish in the ravine without Jesus. They got lost because you did not go and evangelize. Guilt. Fear. I'm not good enough. And you know, fear and guilt are enemies of intimacy. He says, I love you. I don't want, you know, he says, I'm not interested in what you do. I'm interested in who you are. And when you are a son, when you are in the intimacy with the Father, when you receive the identity of sonship, he says, then I can do through you. Then I can do. Then I can do through you. That's what happened with Jesus. Jesus did nothing. Jesus did nothing from his own. Nothing. No. Zero. Nada. And we think we have to. No, we can be. And then he comes and he says, now I'm able to work through. I'm able to use your hands. I'm able to let my glory flow through you. I'm able to be seen through you so that they can see it with their own eyes, because they have still a spirit that is in coma. And they can't get in touch with God without seeing him living in the flesh. This is the church. This is the destiny for the church. Not programs. The time is there that we should not be equipped but unequipped. The next program for the church is how to unequip my members. Because when you are equipped, you can do it. And Jesus says, I can't do anything. So we're heading to the wrong direction. It's wonderful. And you know, you're going to enjoy life more. Really? You live by the love of the law, or you live by the law of love. You know, that's different. The church needs a new revelation. The church needs a personal revelation. You. Not building on what I have said, but for me, the thing that I'm doing is pointing in the direction, in a certain direction. And then you walk that way, and you will experience. You will experience it yourself. You will have an encounter with the Father personally. You need it that you fill his arms, that you hear his sweet, soft voice tell you, you're my beautiful daughter, and I love you. You need to hear him say that to you. You are mine. And I love you. I love you. You know, come close to me. You need some healing in my arms. It's there. We read the verse. Our minds need to be renewed. And what do? We start reading the Bible. And Bible reading is good. But the mind of the prodigal son was renewed the moment he felt that he had a father who loved him. Then the mind renewed. What happened? The orphan mindset went away. And the mind of sonship came in. I can be his son. What did he do? Nothing. It was all his father. The experience. The revelation comes through the experience, and it will be put over all the old experiences. And this, now we can become new. In reality, your life will be renewed here. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Matthew 11, 25 to 30. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven, because you have hidden these things for the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. It means you don't need to be a scholar to receive revelation. You can be, he says, be like a child. Like a child. Everyone, the ones, the unliterate in Mozambique or wherever, or and the professor in Cambridge, everyone. He says, the revelation, you don't need to have your degrees. I can reveal myself. Like a father can reveal himself to his children. That's what we need. That's the most important thing. So he says he revealed it to his to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Directly after that, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He doesn't say, and I will teach you how to work. You see, he says, I will reveal myself, and then he says, you know, I know you. Come to me, all who are burdened, tired. You know how the message, I love the message. You know the message? This part in the message from Peterson. Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father-son operation. Coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. Wow. This is a sermon. You know? This is a unique father-son operation coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone who wants to listen. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you will recover your life. Wow. Wow. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. What if the church would be like this? But we are not pointing to the church. We're pointing to ourselves. What if we start with us? They are longing. I have a passion for the church. I'm a pastor and I find it difficult. I don't want to be a pastor. You know, but what I know is that God wants to do something new in the church. And I don't want to write behind the desk what it will look like. I want to taste it, to do it, to see it, to make it real. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of. Yes, I find it difficult. I'd rather go to Whitney. It's fun. The people, they say, yay, you're welcome. Good to see you. Glass of wine? Yes, please. Oh, sorry. You know, yeah, it's fun. Oh, we were in Mozambique. Oh, till five or something. Yeah. We went to after Mozambique, we went to South Africa. Footprints was the name. And there were like 35, 40 orphans. But we were not allowed to call them orphans. So when we arrived, they said, listen, don't use the word orphan or orphanage, because we are family. And they belong to the family forever. When they are here, part of the family, they are here and part of the family forever, like family. So we had a good time. Sunday night, I speak to the staff, the long-termers, the short-termers, and half of the children, let's say, from 12 years up to 18 or something. And I was about to talk about orphans. And 5 minutes before I started, someone came to me and, remember, we don't use the word orphan. And I thought, my goodness. So I said, okay. So I said, well, Adam and Eve, they got on the distance of God. So we called it the distance. And it worked. So we talked about Jesus not being the goal, but the means to reach the goal. Jesus, not the goal, but the means to reach the goal. The goal is the Father. The goal is to be reconciled with the Father. The goal is to come in His arms. The goal is that we are in His arms. We will become sons of the living God. Sons of the living God. That's the revelation. So we talked about that. Talked about Jesus being the door. And normally we go to the door and we say, oh, we love the door. We love the door. Oh, what a beautiful door that you are. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'll hold on to you. I will never let you go. And Jesus says, hey, stupid one. The door is, oh, sorry. The door is that you open it and you can go. And I'm not only the door, I'm also the way. And so it was good. And we ended with a time of, we listened to Julie True, Heaven's Embrace. And we went around with the team, blessing them, imparting. It was a wonderful time. And Nicholas and Sandra, they went after the meeting to the main building. And they were still speaking about what they heard about the meeting then. They were praying together, and
the children,
two of the children, and Mama Yolanda, she was also there. And there was a point that Sandra, she began to shake. And Mama Yolanda prayed for her, because maybe she thought, not sure what's going on. And so she calmed down. And later she began to shake again. And then she shared that she saw angels. She saw Jesus. Angels, and they were talking, Jesus was talking. And it's not only that she saw it, but she entered into the vision herself. She could talk forth and back. And Nicholas heard about it, and he was able to join her in the same vision, seeing the same thing. They could talk about the same things that they were seeing. They heard the same things, and they were singing with the angels, and it took 3 hours. Here I am allowed to say it, two orphans in Mozambique, the poorest country, the ones that are neglected, And God chooses them. And he shows himself. And he's going to do it more often. When Jesus came to earth, the membrane between visible and invisible, between the two kingdoms was gone, between natural and supernatural, the seen and the unseen. The angels, they could come into our realm. And now it's the same because Jesus is coming again. And we will see it and we will experience it. And it was for me a privilege to be in the orphanage. And the whole after, the day after, they talked about it. And the leaders were with small groups and the whole base was just shaking because God showed up. We need to prepare ourselves. I love this to be church. You know? So we need to change our mindset. I said to my church, to the people of my church, we said, we stop going to church on Sundays. And they said, you're the pastor. Okay. He said, we are church on Sunday, on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Sunday we come together to tell one another how church was. You know, if we have the idea that church is a Sunday morning thing, we don't get the clue. So we need revelation. Through intimacy, you receive your identity, and then you can reach your destiny. Yeah. Just in short, and then I will. What we do is, I will, a small part, and that leads to another song. And then we will take a break. And tonight we will have time to also receive. So that means that we will take some time, that we will listen to some music, and that you're just on your own with the Father. And that we take time, because this is important, that we not listen to what we should do, but that we are actually just doing it. And then we take time for that. We will have some other, and I promised a new topic we have not heard before, so that will be for tonight. What I want to say is, Adam, because of sin, it changed the image of God for him. And when we look to the New Testament, we see actually the same thing. The angel came to Zechariah when he was high priest, and he came into the Holy of Holies. We just celebrated in Israel Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles. That was the day that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, but he could only do so after he had brought the right offerings, forgiveness for his sins, for his family's sins, the burnt offerings, everything needed to be perfectly in order. Because if it was not perfectly in order and you went into the Holy of Holies, what happened? You died. There is a chain on your ankle so they could get you out. So Zechariah, he was tense.
Really?
You know, have I done it right? You know, so he went into the Holy of Holies. Nothing happens. The moment he says, Gabriel, he goes, Wah! He looks for the sword because he comes here to kill me. That's what he thought. Because Gabriel looks at him and he says, don't be afraid. So the glory of God, because Gabriel carried the glory, the glory of God comes, fear. It could have been possible that he said, he comes into the Holy of Holies, Gabriel, wow, what's your name? Gabriel, wow, do you always visit when the high priest comes in? You know, he could have,
yes.
Yeah, he could have. You know, and my fantasy even goes further. He says, I don't dare to ask, but can I touch your wing? If he has wings. But no fear. Gabriel takes off because he has more work to do. Mary doing the dishes. Small house, probably. And Gabriel comes. Boom! Has to bow because small house. He is big. So, and he looks into the eyes of Mary and he says, fear not. Mary, the mother to be, glory of God, fear. Gabriel comes to the shepherds. All of them. Wah! Ask forgiveness for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are 10 sins minimum. Fear not. Okay. Good tidings. Now, all these people were not yet born again. Now we come to Revelation, chapter 1. When I see him, who is I?
John.
Him? Jesus. I fall like dead. He places his hand on my shoulder and he says, fear not. John, the disciple, Jesus, loved. He had intimacy with Jesus. He sees the glory. Fear. First John 4. Perfect love drives out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. There is one example that I believe that there was no fear when the glory came in the New Testament. When they were stoning Stephanus. And the heaven broke open. When I look into his eyes, when I imagine his eyes, there was no fear. When Jesus comes in all his glory for the bride, I believe.